Goes to match your jersey.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, come with it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, Rob, just Google Black and Gold Air Max. There's so many of them.
Lou is on, too. I love it. Lou is on as well.
Thank you.
I hear Maya in the background. A little Marcy muted phone, but it's all good. Yeah, welcome again to another exciting edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are flying through the year, if you will, which is crazy because what can you say about the month of June? It's just crazy, man. So, again, welcome everyone to Season 6, Episode 163. I think everyone's getting settled here. Rob is staring himself in the mirror, apparently, just really admiring his jersey. JQ's in the man cave. Gary's getting settled. Sherry looks like, I don't know where Curtis is at, but again, let's get this party started as always, talking sports with the 12th man. JQ, bruh, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man,
yeah,
I can't call
Tech.
It.
Feeling
pretty good. I went and played some golf today, and my wife asked me to stop and get something to drink from the grocery store, so, you know, I'm on my way to the grocery store, and this damn car in front of me, man, just messing it all up, and I roll up on it, and of course, it's got Dallas Cowboy borders and a Dallas Cowboys front license plate. I said, look at these damn Cowboys fucking up traffic. We can't even get to the damn store today in the way.
What you say, JQ, them damn idiots?
Man, can't drive for nothing. I said, mess up all the traffic, Cowboys fans.
I am a Cowboys fan, you know.
I know, I'm messing with y'all. That actually happened, but I'm just messing with y'all.
That's right.
Okay, all right. All right, stay tuned, Lou. We're going to get you in a quick second. Rob Ford, man, how you feeling, sir, man? Habitual line stepper himself. How you feeling, man?
Oh, you know how I like to roll. You know, I like to be on that line, man, quite a bit, man. Feeling good. Let's start this party.
I figured you'd like these, Rob.
What's that?
Like that black and gold color scheme.
Oh yeah, I like it. I found the shoes too, man. I found it.
All right.
I found it, man. Goodness. I got to get some of the black and gold Air Max.
Yeah, man. I thought about you. I saw them. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
It's all good, man. We'll keep this going as always, man. So again, we're having a good time. Curtis, Gary, how you feeling this evening?
We're doing good. Cheers.
Oh, man, I ain't tell y'all about the pompano I have for dinner tonight, man. Some
goodness.
Potatoes, some red potatoes, and asparagus. Ooh-wee.
Oh, my God. Asparagus is
have
like
you ever had another kind of vegetable
bro.
Other than asparagus?
For real. That's,
that's my
question.
Favorite vegetable, if you didn't know.
No, we would have never guessed that, bro.
Hmm?
I said we would have never guessed that.
I like the way it makes my peach steak.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
That's a whole other conversation that we got to talk with Rob about. He's going to need some help with that, too. But before we get a little too crazy and a little off track and before Lou jumps off because, you know, again, he's like, why, what did I join? And the highlight last week, everyone, was Rob disappearing and grabbing some grapes, man. So we'll see how that occurs. If you did not know, America, we are actually on Zoom as well to see your boys. I am in Charlotte. Rob is in some undisclosed location, the man cave, JQ in Atlanta, Curtis and Jerry representing from the West Coast in Portland. And, again, that's how we're doing, too. So, again, let me throw out the numbers for those that want to reach out. Call your boys. It's always the same every single week. Got to do the particulars, as we always like to do. Number to call on the show, it's always same, 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter. At the number 12, THMEN Sports. We're on that. And if you go to facebook.com/12manSports, you will find us in that arena as well. And last but not least, stay tuned, man. We'll eventually post our Zoom videos, man, because I know you guys want to see us. I want to get some feedback as far as that as well. See some awesome-looking fellas, if you will, too. So let's have some fun. Our scene from Rob is a nice white wall, but it's all good. Hey, we're going to jump to a lot of things.
Thanks,
we got a lot of topics.
Yeah.
Explosive week.
He colorblind like Vinny Testaverde and Jameis Winston.
I was just saying. I mean, I didn't know we were going to go down to the skew of the color and everything like that, you know, but it's all good. It is a nice eggshell for those that are checking Home Depot. All right, let's have some fun. We got to jump off. We're going to skip around because a lot of things I want to talk about for this particular show and episode. Curtis Gary, I want to check with you guys. How you guys doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're ready to get busy with this, and I'm enjoying a nice glass of wine. Cheers to my team here. Guys are appreciating it.
Oh, man, that's what I need to get, man. A glass of wine, man. I'm stuck everywhere with this little bottle of water right here, man. It's pretty
Come on,
boring.
Man. You
it's
don't
like
need a wine. You don't need a wine, bro. Come on, man. That's not good. Hey, Lou, stay tuned, bro. We're going to have some fun. We're going to kick us off with the USC ending its disassociation with Reggie Bush. And I'm going to start with Rob, because is that why you're wearing that Reggie Bush 25 jersey, Rob, if you will?
I got it on, Doc. Throwback Reggie Bush Gold Saints jersey. There we go.
We can't see it. Where you at?
Right here.
It's still on sanction.
Hmm? It's still on sanction.
I brought the gold back. But, USC made a lot of money off of Reggie Bush. And, you know, I know obviously there was some illegal funding and things of that nature. But I think this is a good move by USC. USC made a lot of money off of Reggie Bush and that three-year run he had at USC competing for national titles. You know, I know those have been taken away and Heisman's been taken away and things of that nature. But, I mean, for the attention that he brought to that university, I think this is the right move for USC and having him back around the program. And you know what? You know, hopefully it's something that he can help other kids and help that university to grow from and to make sure those mistakes are not made again. And
sure.
So hopefully he could find a way to be a role model and prevent other kids from going down that road and getting the school back and some more sanctions again. But I think it's the right move. Like I said, he made a lot of money for USC, a lot of exposure to USC. He probably got kids that went there because of Reggie Bush, whether it was athletics or academics. Mm. So he did a lot for that school regardless, and I think this is a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. I mean, you know, I honestly remember that year me and my wife were up in the bed chilling out watching, you know, late-night college football when USC played Fresno State, and he hit that run to the sideline. He did the skirt and put the ball behind his back and cut back around and score. And both of us went, oh, you know, like I remember watching that game live. He was so electric for USC. Him and Lindell White, you know, the thunder and lightning combination that they had when Matt Leiner was just flat out ridiculous. Mike Williams, the wide receiver. And again, it's very hypocritical. Like Rob said, he made so much money for that school. And I know it was illegal. But if you really want to peel back the covers of a lot of these big universities, my Ohio State Buckeyes, Rob's OSU Tigers. Like, if you really want to get behind the covers and see some things, you could probably find some sanctions just about in any school with any of their star players over the last 10, 20 years. So I wasn't overly surprised that had happened. He's just one, you know, he's one of those fixtures that, you know, for this generation, haven't seen him play, especially that, you know, that it was the Rose Bowl against Texas, this young run to end. But, you know, he was just so dynamic for them that he can do nothing but help them. You look at how far the USC, and if USC is not doing well, I'm sorry to say that the Pac-12 is not doing well. They have to be good for the Pac-12 to have that kind of national stature, you know, from coast to coast. Yes, they do. You can say what you want to. Oregon is not going to be USC. USC has to be good for the Pac-12 to have the national recognition that the Pac-12 wants to have. And if they don't have those L.A. schools, not so much UCLA, but USC, you need him to help them get back to recruiting and bringing that spotlight back to USC and the Pac-12. I believe that. I know you guys in up there don't believe that, but there's not a whole lot of people that give a whole lot of credence a lot of times to those Washington and Oregon schools the same way they give that love to the USC and the tradition that USC has.
And that's true. When it comes to football in the Pac-12, you need USC. I mean, they're the only program that has that kind of history. You need USC for that conference to be there. They need to be a player. I'm not saying they have to win it every year, mm-hmm. but they need to be in a conversation. There's no doubt about it. In order for the Pac-12 to get some kind of exposure. And actually, if USC is in the conversation and somebody else wins the conference, that makes them even better too. So, for example, if Oregon is one and USC is two and they beat USC for the Pac-12 championship game, that makes that conference even more exciting and it puts them on another level from an exposure standpoint. In football, you need USC.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
USC,
pulling out the Atlanta
USC,
Hawks
USC, USC, UCLA.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I'm not sure why. Go ahead, Lou.
I mean, Curtis, you're
saying for some
from
reason.
The Southeast Conference.
Well, you know, UCLA, I mean, from a football standpoint, maybe in basketball you want UCLA involved. But, you know, UCLA historically has not been that. I mean, they've been a solid football program. It's not great. But, UCLA has the basketball history.
Right.
Yeah,
but I was thinking,
one of the things that's been discussed, over the last 5 years is college football becoming too regional.
Hmm.
And is there always Alabama and always Clemson now? Did all of a sudden college football become in one region? And this is what USC needs to do, and this is why Reggie Bush is doing this. We need to get this idea of college football being just in one region of the country. And USC would definitely open that up.
I would agree with that. I think that as far as – I think it's about time that, USC is, with this whole Reggie Bush deal, you all alluded to, just how much money that the kid got into the program. This was long overdue, in my opinion.
And if you want to talk about teams, there's things that go on that Southeast Conference, and none of you guys can lie. That, doesn't get the publicity that Reggie Bush's thing did. But, I mean, Cam Newton, what was that?
Yeah.
What happened when he got to Auburn and how that happened? And up and down the Southeast Conference, there's all kind of dirty pool going on.
Mm.
And for some reason, it didn't have the effect of what Pete Carroll and USC and all that. But college football and basketball, there's some dirty pool going on. And a lot of people like to turn a blind eye to it, but it's there.
Not just the SEC. I bet you if you go to any of the Power Five schools and take your top couple schools out of all of them, you can find some dirty stuff happening. So, I mean, I'm just saying. I want the Big Ten to beat them. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be naive about it. Like, if you want to go to the Big Ten and find some stuff, you can find it. If you want to go to the Big 12 and find some stuff, you can find it. You know what I mean? Like, you can find it. You want to go to the Pac-12, you can find it. It's out there to be had if you really want to peel back the covers of some of these big schools because there's so much money involved. Whenever there's that much money involved, you will find some corruption.
No,
absolutely.
Lou, finally, go, bro. Sorry about that.
Yeah, good question. You're right, because that always does spell corruption when there's millions of dollars involved. And, it does. It doesn't look like paint a pretty picture for USC in this issue here. So it's going to be hell.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that what happened also is that you had the – the NCAA come out and say that it was a limit now, I think, to 10 years that you could, you know, have that disassociation. So it helps.
But
just to
put
a ball on it. I mean, it's overdue. Yeah, it's long overdue. It's long overdue, and I'm glad to see him be back involved in it. Yeah. Yeah. They knew what it was. They knew what it was when it was happening. So, you know, let's not, you know, be naive to a situation like they didn't know. They all knew. A lot of them are doing it. So I'm not going to sit here and throw stones.
Well, Curtis and I just have one more comment regarding this topic, then we can move on. And Sherry, you know, she has the same feeling on this. We don't give a shit about USC. We don't give a shit about Reggie Bush.
Wow.
Oh, man. On.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was getting. That's what I was getting.
Oh,
tell us how you really feel, Gary.
Another explosive situation happening.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
There was a day
in America when USC was known as Tailback U. And USC's got a bunch of people in the Hall of Fame.
University of Spoiled Children.
Yes, they do.
Man.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to hate USC. They got you. They room for the
right.
They got to hate USC. They're the big bully on the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Oregon had some good runs, too, obviously. Oregon was kind of in that situation, too, back when Chip Kelly was running it. And then you thought that was going to keep going on, obviously. And then, you know, again, he leaves. And then, you know, Willie Taggart did his thing. And he had a couple situations that were happening, too. And then, obviously, they're trying to get rebuilt as well, too. So, and obviously Justin Herbert was, you know, there's some players as well, too. So I can see how you guys are trying to stake your little claim as a little brother in the conference and trying to, like, knock out USC. But, you know, it's kind of tough because what everyone says, that is sort of true. I mean, it's definitely one of those blue blood programs, as JQ likes to say. For college football to be good, they have to be relevant. So hold on to thinking about Notre Dame, and I still think Miami's got to be great to be good and stuff like that, too. But go ahead.
Well, when you think about Oregon, Oregon is Nike University. Nike Nike uniform, Nike helmet, Nike shoes.
Nike underwear.
Sherry asked me, is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing, but, you know, let's get real. When Oregon is doing well, that means Nike stock. When Oregon's going for national championship, here's the tip, guys. Start buying Nike stock.
I don't know, Curtis. I don't know if it's that. I still think there's a lot of things happening with a guy named Jordan and whatnot, too. But still, you know, and the whole branding that, you know, LeBron is happening, too. So I think Nike's quite okay, as you see me repping some Adidas here, too. But it's all good. But
Adidas is headquartered up here in Portland also. Adidas said they had to move up here and be right next to Nike.
That was a strategic marketing move. My cousin works for Adidas, if you will, so I definitely know about that too. So, you know, again, hold on to conversation to that effect. But, you know, we can talk forever about this. I do want to keep on moving here. I was trying to talk to Rob here, I guess, a little about some basketball, but let's keep it going on the football front, and let's figure out if Cam Newton is still an option. I'm going to lead it off with Lou. Let Lou start this off, man, because, you know, again, I want to hear your thoughts. Is he an option for the Patriots? I know that Curtis is going to be so excited about his favorite team, the Patriots, if you will, too. So yeah, there you go.
I would say no. I think Cam Newton, you know, he's lost a step or two. I happen to know somebody who actually is his cousin, but he doesn't feel the same way I do. Yeah, I wonder how his little brother's going to do, because he's making quite a splash, you know, as he's heading to college. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do when he comes. But Cam, he's lost a step, you know, and I don't think it's going to, you know, give the Patriots another division title. I think they're going to be on the mend this season. Ooh, I only hope so.
You hope so, but you don't know. So I'm telling you, man, Belichick has something up his sleeve for you, Lou. Just saying. Hey,
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Personally, I think it's going to be a three-team race in AFC East. I think we're talking. I like Buffalo. I like the Jets to be contend too as well.
Even with Wacko Flacco.
So I think Buffalo, the Jets, and you know, and I think Bill Belichick of the Patriots is going to be right there in contention too. So I look for it to be a close three-team race, and I can see the winner of that division only winning 9 to 10 games between Buffalo, the Jets,
division.
And the Patriots. I just don't see a team in that division winning 11 or more games.
No.
And Miami will be young and maybe up and coming, but I think they'll bring up the rear in the division. But I can see them winning about 6 games in that division too. And I think, you know, I think they'll show some things. You know, for the Dolphins fans to show that they have a bright future, but I think it's going to be a three-team race between the Bills, Jets, and the Patriots. Very close. I think you can see a 10-6, 9-7, and 8-8 from the top three teams. But I'm going to give the slight edge to Buffalo right now with winning that division.
So would I.
My thing is, if not now, then win Buffalo. I mean, you watched New England rule the roost. For all this time, now you got Tom Brady gone. Like, here's your opportunity. So if you don't do it now, I don't know what else to really say about you. You got a decent young quarterback. You know, you traded for Stephon Diggs. You have a really good defense. They got a good running back tandem. I don't know if not now when. I don't know about Cam. I think Cam was always going to have to hit this plateau where he wasn't going to be able to keep taking the hits that he was able to take and run the ball. The way he's been able to run the ball. I think he's now at a crossroads where he's got to find somewhere to improve that accuracy during the ball, whether it's, you know, a Bruce Arians bombs away kind of offense or if it's a Josh McDaniels, you know, short dink and dunk passing game. He's got to find a way to expand his game to not just be about the fact that I'm just a big bruising quarterback and I can run you over and I can take all these hits, because he's got to look at some more longevity and being able to get past all these injuries he's just got now. But I still take him over Jared Stidham. I mean, Cam is still an MVP in this league, and, you know, now you're giving him time to recuperate, and now he's got a big old chip on his shoulder. I think the only thing that holds him back is this pandemic, the fact that he can't get in front of people for his physical, and the fact that he really can't get in the building to get on a team and dive into a brand-new playbook to get up to speed to something that they did different in Carolina. But I won't say that he's done yet, and I give him the benefit of that just because I've seen him be able to do on the field. But if for him, too, as well. People have doubted you, bro. Look at all these people that have gotten jobs and all these teams that have said, no, I don't need you. I'll draft a rookie because I think they're going to be better than you are. If you don't do it now, I mean, I don't know where else to say for him. This is almost like a last stand kind of thing for Cam right now.
Last stand.
Yeah, I still think it's still his best chance to be a starter. I mean, like we talked about Jared Stidham before. There, at one time, he was projected to be a first-round pick. You know, maybe Bill Belichick sees the same thing out of him, but I still think, you know, it's just not enough for us as the fans to rely on to make a prediction that New England's going to win a division because of Jared Stidham. We just hadn't seen enough of him on the pro game to make that prediction. But I still say the best chance for Cam Newton to be a starter will be with the New England Patriots. But does Bill Belichick see the same thing?
I'm going to go with, you know, I don't trust New England as far as I can throw them. And,
no.
You know, they'll probably pull some kind of, yeah, they're probably going to pull something out of the hat at the beginning of their season that everybody's mouth is going to be sitting open. What did they do now? Matter of fact, I saw them on the BoomTube this morning, and Robert Kraft, with Tom Brady, they were talking about one of their old guys is doing. Robert Kraft donated $100,000 to his charity in Boston, and he's helping underprivileged kids try to get their thing. So they had Tom Brady on there, they had Robert Kraft on there. I think it was I want to say Stephon. I'm forgetting his name. And Robert Kraft said he doesn't remember the guy that used to play for him last year. He said that on TV right after Tom Brady got to congratulating this guy, I think Tom Brady donated some to his charity too. And Robert Kraft came on, yeah, I can't remember who played for me last year, but we're going to be fine. I thought that was question. But the one thing I'm going to say, with Buffalo, I'm thinking the same thing. It stands to win, but they do have a question mark. That quarterback they have, he may not be that far from that quarterback that Chicago had. Those two guys are like hipster doofuses to me. And I'm not really sure that they are starting quarterbacks for their respective team. And that's my question with Buffalo. If this guy makes a step forward or two steps forward, it's going to show. If this guy regresses, and there's a good chance he might, then we're going to see it, and Buffalo's not going to have a chance.
I mean, Josh Allen has that rising. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I don't think that they're even going to look at Cam. I think that Belichick has got this huge ego. I don't think he believes that it was Tom Brady. I believe he believes that it was his system. And he may, after the next couple of years, when they've finally get to that 10 wins, but it's going to take two seasons to get to it, maybe he'll change his mind and draft a quarterback. I think that there's a three-team race, but it's going to take the Patriots two seasons to get to 10 wins, so they'll be the third team.
Oh, my gosh. You can only hope and dream so much, though, Gary. Like you said,
hey,
it's all good.
Listen. You know what, Robert, you know, with this pandemic and everything, Robert Kraft, you know, he wants these businesses in Florida to open up. You know, he wants all the businesses to open up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all love taking shots at Robert Kraft.
He's not planning to wear a mask either.
And he believes it's essential.
A mask will mess him up.
Oh my God!
Wow.
I'm just gonna say that Bill Belichick has something for you. Definitely, he's gonna basically dedicate the season to you. Just really quickly before we move on to the next topic, I'm gonna say this: I'm not gonna wish any injury on anybody or any team, but something's gonna happen. Cam Newton will be playing this year. I'm gonna say that something's gonna happen. So stay tuned.
I believe he'll be playing this year. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We are.
Why is the arena football still? Is the Arena Football League still going?
No.
Stop it. Oh my gosh.
Stop it.
I love Gary. It's all good. Gary's on fire tonight, man. He's drinking Gary.
Yeah, man. He's
like, I love it. JQ's over here shadowboxing.
Body blow.
Like little creep.
Body blow. He'll do his press conference in his little scarf, you know, for Arena Football. It'll be awesome. There'll be one reporter there.
Come on, man. We'll send the F squad out there. Hey, This is a great topic here. And I do want Rob to talk about the top five QBs college quarterbacks this season. But then I also want to make sure we definitely talk about should top prospects and skip consider going to historical black universities to help promote change. And I think that's a great topic to sit on, guys. Lou, you can definitely weigh in. It's kind of hard, you know, making sure you guys are all going to get your thoughts in. So, again, if you guys can be succinct, since we have Lou on the show, too, to kind of add his thoughts, too. So I'm going to go around the room. We'll start with Rob, go to West Coast, JQ, and then go back to Lou, too. So if you can do that, kind of give us your thoughts about that, which is, I think it's a great opportunity, again, to kind of bring back those classic schools. And I think the reason why they went back to the schools in the past because obviously they weren't getting opportunities in the SEC and ACC, and it was just a little tougher due to, obviously, things, civil rights and things were happening too. So that's why you got like a lot of top talent. And then once, you know, obviously you saw Bear Bryant seeing what happened, USC running out, you know, that's when I got to get one of them. That's kind of how it all opened up too. But again, Rob, you can kind of set the stage too, as far as that and historical black colleges and getting those top prospects, if you will.
Yeah. First on the black college piece, you know, there was a time where, you know, you saw the Gremlins of the world, the Jackson States of the world that were really had some really strong football programs because they were able to get, like, the top black talent to come out of there. And obviously USC was one of the programs that kind of changed everyone, you know, especially when Sam the Bam Cunningham ran all over Alabama and Bear Bryant. And Bear Bryant, you know, classic line is, I have to get me one of them in order for us to compete. And but we all know, including LSU, this is a true story.
It's
a true story. And those schools in the SEC were not recruiting black players, including my beloved LSU. And when Alabama started, after Sam the Bam Cunningham just ran all through Alabama, Bear Bryant started, and the rest of the conference started as well. And that kind of killed the black college football program. It killed the Grambling States. It killed the Jackson States of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It killed the Prairie Views, the Texas Southerns of the world. And you know, part of me would love to see that, to see a lot of these guys go back to the black colleges as well and compete and revive those schools and revive those programs. But it's hard to knock the players, too, because the LSU, the Texas, the Florida, the Ohio State, they're on TV every week. And that's what gets them the exposure that they need. So it's really hard. You know, you can't really knock the players because they want that exposure. They want to play on the NFL. They want to be at the big universities. They want to be on TV every week. And so, like I said, although I would like to see it, I understand it from the player standpoint. Hey, what's going to give me the best chance to – what's going to give me the best chance to succeed? What's going to give me the best opportunity to be on TV? What's going to give me the best opportunity to be in the NFL? And playing in one of these major universities is really what's going to set me apart and give me the exposure that I need.
Yeah. Well, listen.
What you guys didn't talk about, this was what Al Davis was doing back in the heyday of when the Raiders were so great. Al Davis was one of the first guys in the NFL to start robbing out of those black colleges. And he was very successful at it. And those first Raider teams that were killing people, they were full of black colleges. But there's another component here. And this component I'm going to talk about is I think there's going to be a lot of kids on this internet profit on your likeness thing.
Yeah.
And so I think there's going to be a lot of kids look at every situation out there. Black colleges, SEC, Oregon, Ohio State, Rutgers. Where can I go and not have anybody else in my way for me to get a lot of internet hits so I can build up my profile and make me a ton of money? A great athlete goes to Grambling and beats up Grambling again. But his goal is to get a billion internet hits because he's on at Grambling. Somebody at Oregon doing the same thing. Somebody at Alabama doing the same thing. So I think there's a different component here with this likeness getting paid for. And this might benefit all the colleges because smart kids are going to figure out where they can get the most internet hits and use a university for that goal.
Well, those top-level athletes at this level, you know, they want to go to those programs that are the marquee programs. We talked about USC, LSU, Alabama, the Buckeyes, all those programs are, you know, the marquee programs. And these are the schools that these kids want to go to because they want to have that shot of going into the NFL. And they're not going to get that shot maybe in this day and age going to a smaller school. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see them go to some of these black colleges and beef those schools up again and do wonders. I think that would be fantastic. But it's going to take one or two really big players to put that huge leap of faith to be able to do that.
Gary, I'm telling you, the Internet is a different world. I mean, you don't have to, and that's what the Internet's going to do. You're not going to have to go to these big schools to get your Internet hit if you know what you're doing.
Right.
And you dominate at a black school, at any one of these schools. And I think that's going to be the game changer and how that works, and how much money you can make, and what is that all about. Plus, I'm thinking these kids that are doing these big Internet money-making things, how does the school profit on that too?
I'll figure it out. And as my Cowboys fans on here, I don't want to talk about Bullet Bob Hayes, Florida A&M Rattler, enshrined in the Cowboys Ring of Hall of Fame. So let's not forget that. I know I'm biased because I am a Florida A&M graduate, and I would love to see it happen. But the thing that happens, though, is that it's going to take more than one or two. I really believe that. I think it's going to take a change of cycle because having gone to a historically black college and you see the athletics and the facilities, they are nowhere near on par to what an Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU have. So one or two guys does it, that just becomes a novelty. And then when everything goes back to normal, then they're still stuck in that cycle. What you're going to have is multiple years of multiple elite recruits go and spread across those HBCUs and have them play each other and then have the networks come and say, oh, shit, these dudes are all on these teams playing each other. We got to go pick up these games. And then the SWAC and the MEAC can come back and say, well, ESPN, CBS, NBC, well, we need some of that change players to give us some of these other big conferences because we have the athletes. So that's the only way that that's really going to happen. I would love to see it happen, but that's going to take a level of sacrifice. And I agree with you, Curtis, that you can get your fame off of social media. You can still be found if you're that guy. But in terms of changing the perception and the culture and the way the money works, it's going to take a recruiting class and a recruiting class and a recruiting class. You're going to have those roll over across multiple HBCUs and have them get those LSU, Alabama games. You know what I mean? That brings that eye to the audience where they can go and negotiate that money. Then that money trickles back to the school. Now I have a better training facility. Now I have two or three practice fields where I only maybe the one that I had to share with the women's lacrosse team. You know what I mean? I've got a for real weight room now. Those things that you have to compete on that level takes time. So I would love to see it happen, but it's going to take a dedicated kind of effort from these young athletes to say, you know what, we're going to change the culture back to what it was. And we know this is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while because you know those big schools are going to come forward. They're not going to lose that money. They're going to negative recruit. They're going to put up every hurdle they can to keep the HBCUs from reaching that level.
Dan.
Sorry, Luke.
But I mean, there's another argument with the NFL.
Yeah.
And maybe out of these black colleges, we can start getting black coaches in the NFL. And maybe that's going to be, I mean, it's an issue. It's a glaring issue for the NFL.
Very gray.
Probably where they're going to find them is they're going to find them in these black colleges. How many Division I A black coaches are there in black coaches are in college? And I don't think Shaw is going anywhere out there at Stanford.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lou.
You mean like in Grambling and Southern and you're talking about those colleges, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it is a shame that the black college coaches are not getting in the NFL, and you know, it needs to do something about that because it's a little bit imbalanced. So they need to find out how to hire more of these coaches.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing, just getting the opportunities. And I know we can sit there and talk about that a lot because it just sounds like a kind of a similar kind of narrative, if you will, too. And just to kind of like put a bow on this, and we talk about a lot of things because, you know, the last one of the great quarterbacks that we remember is, you know, obviously Steve McNair, rest in peace, you know, Alcorn State. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the last, like, I remember, like,
Alcorn
quarterback that was, just a great, great school. Aaron McNair, man. So, and like you said, JQ, you made this opportunity because – go ahead, Luke. What were you saying?
I just think Aaron McNair. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the last guy that I remember came from just to, you know, that was putting up some great numbers. And you hope that kind of starts that trend in that, you know, maybe what's happening now in this country, that it will kind of revert into going back into looking at these colleges and kind of like, again, let's put a crew out there. And maybe it's time for us to sit there and focus on that as well and say, you know, we're not going to, you know, we're going to invest in these colleges and everything to, you know, teaching facilities. I mean, all that comes into play, putting a network out there for that. And then, you know, having, again, recruits go back to that school and then, again, developing talent that's already there. And then the same thing like that coaching carousel can kind of come from there too, because there's some innovative coaches out there and they're just not getting the opportunity because they're not seeing them, right, as you said, JQ. So, you know, they're probably on a smaller ESPN 808 or something like that. But, you know, again, talent is there, and we have to definitely start changing this to say, hey, there's a coach out there that's doing the same thing that supposedly Bill Walsh did. I mean, that's, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There's a new way how to drop plays and see that talent too. So I'm a firm believer in making that happen too. So really good topic, guys. Really good that you guys are able to weigh on that too. Rob, I hope you're around here. We're going to talk really quickly about the top five college QBs this season. Would love to hear about your thoughts because I'm sure JQ is going to – JQ takes off his headphones. I'm waiting for – he's putting on his hat. This is for JQ. Okay, put it back on. This is for you, JQ. I was waiting for you to put your headset back on because we're talking about the top five QBs. I'm curious, Rob, this is kind of a segue into the 2021 draft too. Is Justin Fields up there? We know that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the top. Look at that. What is – I don't know what's happening. So,
yeah.
Rob, tell us about some top five college QBs. In this class, and you know, we're going to do the same thing we always do. Normal, it's like Rob, JQ, West Coast, and back to the loop. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, we know Trevor Lawrence is number one. First 2 years in college football, went to the national championship game twice. Freshman year, dominated Alabama in the championship game. Second year, got his ass spanked by LSU. But you know, still, we see where his potential is, the size, the arm talent that he has. We see the mobility that he has, and he's exactly what you're looking for in a prototype NFL quarterback. So definitely, he is still that number one guy. Justin Fields, Ohio State. You know, JQ obviously would like that. Obviously,
he's number one.
When you saw the accuracy that he displayed at the quarterback position. Obviously, the mobility at the quarterback position as well, and obviously led his team to a perfect regular season. So we see all the traits there. He's the number two guy. A guy to watch, Sam Howell, had phenomenal freshman year, quietly at North Carolina. Look for him to have an even better sophomore year at North Carolina this coming season. And watch out for them in the ACC. They can really make a strong run there. Okay, they won't be better than Clemson, but they're going to definitely be a contender with Sam Howell, and look for him not in the 2021, but maybe the 2022 draft to be a seriously high draft pick. Sam Ehlinger from Texas, another guy I think from a passing standpoint could really still show a little bit of improvement. Doesn't quite have the arm talent of Trevor Lawrence, Fields, Sam Howell does, but he's mobile. And he gets the job done. A very good college quarterback. Not sure where I project him from an NFL standpoint just yet, but definitely not a first-round pick. But
definitely
a very good college quarterback. Ian Book from Notre Dame. I expect him to continue to get better as well. You know, looking at him and the way he's progressed as well, throwing the football with accuracy and velocity as well, and a pretty good arm talent as well. And the guy to watch there is Jamie Newman in Georgia. Really good arm talent, good athletic ability, I have him as a first-round draft pick, but just not quite as a top-five college quarterback, but I think he's right there knocking on that door and has the potential to be a top-five 2020 college football quarterback. And if so, Georgia could be really scary. Watch Jamie Newman at Georgia. And Caden Slovis at USC is another one to watch. A lot of potential, highly recruited. And so watch him as well at USC.
Yeah, everything you just said is all well and good for everything. I'm sitting here with Justin Fields, number one, because I'm a homer. Trevor Lawrence is right there for me at number two. And then outside of everybody else you talked about, nobody cares because it's not going to make a difference.
Right.
Jamie Newman at Georgia, for one. How you didn't speak on Miles Brennan at LSU and what he can do maybe or maybe not following Joe Burrow at LSU, because they're going to have a still really solid football team and be in the conversation. And then I look at Trask at Florida as well. I mean, I just look at it in terms of who's going to be able to be in those in that college football championship. So I don't think Texas is back. We got to stop talking that foolishness because they're not back. USC
nope.
is not back. So I'm going to go with, you know, Fields and Lawrence and Newman. I want to see what Brennan does at LSU. I want to see what Trask does in Florida. And that's honestly where I kind of just stop at, because I feel like outside of maybe those five, who else is really going to have a chance to win a title? Like, legitimately. Like, I don't believe in Ian.
No,
Kennedy.
I
don't. I don't believe in Notre
yeah.
Dame at all. So, I mean,
Trask
I
showed us quite a bit last year, too. I mean, he really showed us a lot more than what we projected out of him, Trask. Now, Miles Brennan. I just have to see it in games. And the potential is there. There's no – he broke all kind of high school records in the state of Mississippi and has probably better arm talent than Burrow. But does he have the leadership talent? Does he have the accuracy? Does he have the mobility as Burrow? And that's what's – you know. But as far as arm talent, Miles Brennan, I mean, the ball just flies out of his hands when he throws it.
Yeah.
But we have to see the other intangibles to go along with that.
I hope he's there.
I'm an LSU fan. I hope he's there.
No, the reason why I say that, and I
think
you're
right.
The reason why I shifted to those quarterbacks is because I'm looking at it in the landscape of, you know, offense, defense, special teams, name recognition, because we can say what we want to, but that plays a part in who gets folded into the top five or top four in the college football playoffs, too. You got to have some talent, but it also helps to have name recognition. So when I started looking at those top five, I was trying to figure out, okay, dudes at programs with a legit chance to actually be able to compete for a national championship. Because if you just have a little bit of shakiness, but your team can uplift you, but then you can have games where you come back and play,
mm-hmm.
it's going to uplift your profile as well as a quarterback. So that's just where I approached that question from.
Go ahead, Lou.
Very good point.
Yeah. Yeah, how do I top that? I think I go with Fields as well.
Yes, sir.
Ha-ha, you made a fan of JQ. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I
don't buy
definitely like
JQ's
the top
hype.
Two.
What I was going to say is I'm glad Rob mentioned Slovis down at USC. I'm watching with this Pac-12, who's quarterbacking in the Pac-12 this year. And one of the kids I'm kind of curious about is that Arizona State with those two coaches they got down there. They're kind of high on a kid. He was a freshman last year, and those guys are high on him. And I think those guys know what they're doing down there. They kind of scare me in this Pac-12. Because I think they're really good recruiters, and I think they want to win some Pac-12 championships down there. I don't think they're down there to be messing around.
No.
I remember going to see what Oregon's going to do for quarterback, what Washington's going to do for quarterback. I do know that USC had a quarterback leave, and I think Oregon State had a quarterback lead. I was looking about. There's been some guys leave some of these programs to go somewhere else in the past.
USC
12.
Lost JT Daniels to go to Georgia. So really good pickup for Georgia. So they'll have a quarterback ready to take over for Jamie Newman after this season. But, yeah, USC JT Daniels left to go to play at Georgia.
You got to tell you, right?
Yeah, so that's – I'm going to be looking at this Pac-12 big time because there's going to be a bunch of new quarterbacks. But one of them that's not new is that guy at Arizona State.
Yeah, that's a good call. Mm. All right, we got about 10 minutes here, and I'm going to try to fit this in because, I want to start this topic, and I know where it's going to go. So I'll try to, like, I don't know if we want to say this for OT or not. And, Rob, this is your call because we can do that or we can go to the 2021 mock draft and save this topic. But last week, really big about Drew Brees and getting held accountable by his teammate. That was a pretty big story. So, Rob, if you want to have extra time, we can push that back to the OT. I know we got about 9 minutes, so we're going to do that too. So that's your call. Or we can talk about the mock draft and just leave that that topic whenever we hit OT because, again, that's a way for folks to definitely grab the show and download it for tomorrow.
I'm fine with whatever you guys wanted to go ahead with next to discuss.
There's no way
what you
got to
say on the
minutes.
Topic, Rob. Or we can – everybody can shoot for that. Who's going to win the AFL East? That should go pretty quick before we get to the top of the hour.
Yeah.
I thought we did
that
already.
We did do that. Let's talk about the early 20 – let's do the 2021 mock draft, and then we'll let Rob – because that topic is going to – like, I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that too. So let's talk about that, Rob. Right. And then I know we got the what's happening with the NBA happening too. So what were you about to say, Lou? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, cool. Rob?
Yeah, real quick, I posted this on our Facebook page, and technically not a mock draft. It's just really the top 32 prospects early on for the 2021 mock draft. We are talking about Trevor Lawrence. I have him number one. I have Justin Fields number two. I have Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU, number three. Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon, I have him number four, and he's a guy – that probably could have won in the top five of this year's draft, even as a sophomore. So very highly regarded. Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher from Miami, number five. Devonta Smith, speedy wide receiver from Alabama, number six. Michael Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, a guy who you can really compare to Isaiah Simmons, who went in this year's draft. I think he went number eight to Arizona. And so a guy who you can really compare to him, Michael Simmons, linebacker from Penn State, having number seven. Patrick Surtain Jr., cornerback from Alabama, number eight. Jamie Newman, quarterback, Georgia, number nine. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama, number 10. Dylan Moses, linebacker, Alabama. He's coming off an injury, but, you know, there's definitely no doubt about his athletic ability, his speed, his range. As well, Walker Little, offensive tackle from Stanford. He's another guy who got hurt last year and might have would have came out after his junior year if he was healthy and could have been really highly regarded in this year's draft as well. I'll just skip around a little bit. Jalen Mayfield, offensive tackle from Michigan, JQ's favorite skew, going to number 14. Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, Alabama, have him going 15. Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle, Florida State, have him going 16. Trey Lance, he's a guy to remember, quarterback, North Dakota State. Small school, Division II school, a lot of success, good arm talent, can really throw the football. He's a guy that really could move up in this draft. Number 20, Sean Wade, cornerback, Ohio State. 21, Richard LeConte, safety from Georgia. Wyatt Davis, offensive guard from Ohio State at number 22. Creed Humphrey, interior offensive lineman from Oklahoma. I have him going number 24. Christian Barmore, defensive tackle, Alabama, 25. Another guy to watch is Israel Mukumu, cornerback, South Carolina, 6 feet four corner, 205 pounds, really extremely big corner, 6 feet four. And for our Pacific Northwesterners, we got Joe Tryon, defensive end from Washington at number 27. He's a 6'5", 265-pound edge rusher that really just came on the scene this past season. And the rest of it, my last four picks are all offensive linemen from the SEC, a couple from Tennessee, one from Georgia, and one from Alabama. But you guys, to our listeners, take a look at it on our Facebook page.
Solid.
That's good,
I think all those Buckeyes in that top 25.
What'd you say, JQ?
I said solid. I'll take all those Buckeyes in that top 25.
Yeah, man. That's going to be that's no excuse, man. Really quickly, I know, Rob, we appreciate you posting the mock draft. And I actually have an old mock draft I gotta show you, man, because I was laughing because this was something that Rob had sent to me. It had to be like 2020 or 2012 or something crazy like that. And I'm like laughing because I'm looking at the names of this draft that you had sent me. I was like, it's crazy, man, that you've been doing this for that long too. So we appreciate you doing that. Don't forget again to
come talk to
Sports 12, man. Yeah, it was great, man. I think you had the player from Mingus or something like that. Mingo, something from LSU, something crazy like that.
Mingo.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm looking at these names. It was also Geno Smith is in that draft, too. So you have Geno Smith going pretty high. It was crazy. I'm looking at this draft like, it was just crazy, man. So that's how long we've been, that Rob's been doing that, too. So good stuff. So really quickly, we got a couple minutes here before we do the OT. I do want to quickly talk about who has the best chance of winning the title with no fans. So let's get that in really quickly, and then we're going to spend a lot of time in the OT talking about some NFL Packers and also the NFL world holding Drew Brees accountable. So go ahead, Rob. Twitter and Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you what, from the NBA perspective here, and, you know, we talked about this a little bit on last week's show, about a home court advantage here. I mean, how do you create that in a neutral environment? But I do think, you know, in the NBA, best four out of seven, I mean, 90% of the time, you're going to get the best team to win anyway, regardless of who has home court advantage. So I think you're going to see a lot of that here in this. And, you know, I think the teams to watch are still the same ones that were before the pandemic, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and, you know, if the Rockets can find a way to compete without a big man, with Russell Westbrook and Harden, I mean, they could be that sleeper team, but, you know, I think still your favorites are the Lakers, Clippers, and the Bucks.
I got your Lakers and Bucks were my pick from the beginning of the year. A lot of people seem to have their faith on the Lakers' baby brother, though. Although that's not a bad choice. Now, of course, I'm referring to the Clippers as, you know, the baby brother.
Yeah.
You got to admit, because, you know, they've come a long way since they've been the joke of the NBA back in the 80s and 90s, and they've now become, you know, their own identity for the most part. So, you know, I don't take them as a long shot. On that note, I got a split. I'll be back next week.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Great, Rob Ford. You know I'm saying the Lakers, so, I mean, that's all that goes without saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We have just concluded our live portion of the show. We still got more topics to discuss. We're going to go right into our OT portion here. Unfortunately, you cannot get this portion of the show live, so click on the same link for the rest of the week, and you'll get the rest of the show. We still have some basketball and football to discuss, so you definitely don't want to miss our OT portion. Good night, people. Next week, we're going to be on the air on Thursday night, so we're making a slight change. Next week, Thursday night instead of Wednesday, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. Good night, people.
God damn it, baseball. Stop playing games. Get a season together. What are y'all doing? I mean, come on. MLS is starting up. NBA is starting up. MLB still talking about how many games they're going to play in the season. Y'all are killing me with this foolishness. Get a season together. Let's go.
Go Yankees.
Good job.
That's right. Go
yeah,
Yankees.
Wow.
Yeah,
we got a Dodger fan here. That, Sherry's a Dodger fan. And I'm going to close the screen up when she comes over to show it to you.
That's all right. That's one of my favorite National League.
That's an easy game to go to. I mean, when we got direct flight,
yeah.
Delta Airlines.
Well, you know, you guys, you know, Rob, I heard you talking about, you know, your diet, and you guys are exercising, and you know, all this stuff, you know. And what I want you guys to know, when I walked by, you know, when I walked by my mirror the other day, I didn't like what I saw. Okay, I really didn't. You know, so, and I knew that. You know, talking with you guys, and especially you, Rob, with your diet and everything, I know that I needed to make some serious changes in how I do things. So what I decided to do is I took all the mirrors out of my house. Now I don't look anymore.
I'm
so
great. Look with Gary. I'm always waiting for that, too, the hook.
Oh, man.
Look at JQ and the kids. I love it. They got the kids. Oh, man. We're going to talk about Good job, JQ. We saw the kids, JQ. We saw the kids, but that was cute, man. So, again.
Sorry, yeah. They were coming to tell me good night. I thought they were already in the bed, so I'm glad I wasn't cussing
right
okay.
then.
Hey, that's all right. You should have left them on the show, man. They might have talked more sense than you.
That don't happen. Here we go.
They were
talking
about Georgia nonsense, so you know I can't let that happen.
No. I'd rather hear Ohio State than Georgia.
Yeah, I think everybody in the free world would like to hear anything other than Georgia talk.
You know, Sherry promised to show you guys something on here, and she wanted to show you.
Yeah! That's what's up, man. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Nice. Nice.
Who is that?
Nice.
Who is that, Jared?
Jared Jack,
man.
Oh, Jared Jack. Okay.
Yes, not number 12. Number 12 was Kenny Anderson, obviously. You know, you had the Lethal Weapon squad back in the day, too. But Jared Jack was a great player, man, for Georgia Tech, man. So, again, good to see that, man. That's whatever we had. Point guard you, man. The great Bobby Crimmins was recruiting, getting those great point guards from New York. And actually, Jared Jack, you know, he was an Atlanta guy, man. So it's good that, you know, again, just continue the tradition of the point guard you, man. So hopefully one day we'll get back to that. I don't think that Josh Pastner is the answer. That's my little two cents, too, man. So anyway.
He's from Maryland,
I digress, man. Maryland, and then he came back to Georgia from that second part of his high school. So let's go keep it going, too. So, all right, here we go. I got you, Rob.
Just lying
here. You're trying to mess me up, man. So this is big time here. This is big time. Good job, Sherry. Appreciate that. Malcolm Mackey actually gets his haircut with me, too, man. So you talk about, like, a whole slew of Georgia Tech guys, man. It's pretty dope. NFL world. Yeah. What did you say, Rob? Yeah, Rob,
they trying to name
draft. Well,
we got Derek Favors, Georgia Tech.
That's only because he didn't really want to go there either. That was just kind of like, you know, whatever. He just wanted to stay with the Hawks. But, Rob.
Derek Favors? He never played with the Hawks.
He wanted to play with the Hawks, but y'all just pretty much undercut us and got him. So that's one of our conversation too. But anyway, all right, here we go.
Hat on.
Let's keep it
going. Put my lid on.
So the NFL world is pretty much holding Drew Brees accountable. And this is, we're emailing back and forth, about this. And Gary Curtis, Sherry, I want you guys to definitely chime in after JQ on this, because I had immediately – said what had happened and the ramifications of it, because this can definitely hit Drew Brees even after his playing career is over, which may sooner than later, because he was thinking about going to the broadcast booth. So we're kind of hoping that, you know, he's hoping that it kind of goes down. But how impactful is this from your perspective? I know Rob had texted us that if Drew Brees is a quarterback, he would not support the Saints. Which I thought was really huge. It just does a lot, man. So, you know, right now, what's happening in New Orleans, Rob, and the story has taken some legs, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show, so now it is the time. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I think, obviously there's been, like, seems like three apologies since the statement that he made about the flag since then. But I think right now, more than apologies, I think we have to see action right now. We need to see, what can he do at this point now to help the cause. We want to see action. I mean, I know he responded emphatically to President Trump, and obviously that was a start. But, he needs to be a part of the solution right now in order to start regaining some trust from the black community. And that's, that's New Orleans. That's his locker room. That's the NFL. And obviously the team has come around a little bit. You know, Sean Payton is pulling out all the stops. He's got Shaquille O'Neal speaking to the team. And they brought Spike Lee in to speak to the team. So obviously Sean Payton is pulling out all the stops to try to improve, the bond. And it seems as though most of the team has forgiven him, and they're ready to move on and bring him along as part of the cause. But I think right now, like I said, I think when you talk about the city of New Orleans, and even around the country, I think it's just going to take a lot more action from Drew Brees before I think he's truly forgiven for those comments.
Well, Rob, has he participated in, in one of the protest marches or anything like that that you know of?
Not that I know of, no.
You know, up here we had Damian Lillard. Of course, he's black, and he went arm in arm. And I don't know if you guys saw it on national TV or not, but he marched with the protesters arm in arm. He's got a new album that he put out. And you know what? My hat's off to him. But, Rob, I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, you were pretty hard on Drew Brees, and shockingly to all of our group, because I know how much you, as a football player, you've respected his work on the field. With this apology, if he, does something big, if he gets involved in this movement somehow, Is that the point that's going to take for you to forgive him, come back, watch your beloved Saints, and still be a fan of Drew Brees?
Well, obviously looking back, that the way I react, even my wife thought I was a little bit too harsh on the way I responded on last week, but that's the way I felt in the moment on last week. I mean, I thought the comments that was made was very insensitive at the time, and my whole thing is, even if that's the way you felt, I don't even think that was the time to say it. I mean, based on everything that was going on, obviously, so I thought the comments was very insensitive, particularly to the black community, his fellow teammates, to Colin Kaepernick. I just thought the whole thing was very insensitive. That being said, hey, listen, I'm willing to give him a chance, and obviously if I don't give him the chance to try to make it right, then I'm part of the problem myself.
Well, I think that if he comes out and he does something to help this fight and this movement that's not just in New Orleans or even in the United States, but it's a global movement for this, which is, I am so happy that, all of these people are coming together across the world and bringing this to the forefront and making some, they're causing, these are the new voters. They're going to be able to vote in the politicians that they want. And some of these politicians that are resisting this and some of the things that have gone on. I was watching some of the news tonight, and there were still some of the people that were, still hesitant on, making changes with with the police and how they interact with people and really what their responsibility is to serve and protect not just a certain group, but all of us. And so with that said, I'm hoping that this movement and Drew Brees can be a part of that too, you know, to kind of, you know, get this movement. And it can't stop here. It's got to be, we got to talk about this on this show and on other sports shows. You know, in 3 weeks, it can't die. In 6 months, it can't die. We've got to keep bringing it up. We've got to keep talking about it because that's how you make real change. You can make a few little things to die things down and stop the protesters and this sort of thing. But then these trials are coming up. And I want these trials to be go the right way. I want these guys to be prosecuted for these things. That's my personal opinion. And I'm hoping that that's the way it goes. We're going to be in a world of hurt. And I'm hoping that Drew Brees and, you know, people that have a lot more of a forum across this country can be, you know, address this and be more of, you know, we're a small group here, but we're talking about it. And those people that follow us on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you know, maybe they can hear this and, you know, we can go from there and be a part of it as well. I know I need to, and I want to. Sherry, do you have anything to set me in front of the camera?
Yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
Oh, no, I just, I echo what you're saying, Gary. I think that, you know, we need to be part of the solution. I would agree with Rob and what he said. You know, that's how you felt last week. That's how you felt in the moment. But, you know, we are all human and we react in the moment in some things. And we as individuals who want this change, we need to be able to change as well. We can't say everybody needs to change and then not be willing to change ourselves. So I commend Rob for saying what you said is that, you know, you felt like we may have said a little too much, you know, you reacted a little too quickly and are willing to have Drew Brees back in the good graces if, you know, if he does become part of the solution as opposed to part of the cause. So I commend that. I think that is, I respect you on that note. And I just echo Gary, you know, be part of the solution.
Well, I'm going to come here and just throw a whole bunch of cold water on that. Because he might feel that way, but I think he also found himself in the middle of a PR nightmare. And he's a smart dude, and he's got a lot of money. He has the people around him to say, hey, this is how we're going to have to go ahead and attack this thing. You got to bury your soul. You got to throw yourself out here on the cross. Even if you don't mean what you're saying in your apology, you got to at least pretend. You better get an Oscar and make people think that you pretend that you feel like that. So, I like you said earlier, I need to see back in a week or 2 weeks or a month, a couple of months. No, not just what you say on TV, not where you put your money at. You know, where do you put your time at? You know what I mean? Where are you out there doing in the communities? What are you out here doing, speaking out to do these pieces that make people really feel like, okay, he finally gets it? Because when you are in that position, you have that kind of money and that kind of stature, you can buy the best PR team to help you out of a crisis as it is. Like, yeah, he didn't touch nobody or pull his dick out, nothing crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he put his foot in his mouth, and you can recover from that somewhat if you have people around you to help you recover from it. So for me, for Brees, he's fighting a two-front war, and I think he's winning the first front, and that first front is his locker room. And you saw Michael Thomas, you know, come out and talk about it. Along with other players come out and talk about it, and they all say, okay, I forgive him. So that was really one of his biggest hurdles. Those dudes that he has to play with, protect him, get into buy-in to what he wants to have happen, they have to be able to believe that he's saying that. Maybe they're, I see you, Dre, but maybe they're saying that. If you come out and say that you don't like what he said, I just don't see any reason to backtrack on it so fast if you didn't honestly believe him or feel like, you know what, I'm talking to him, I know him closer than other people do. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because when you jump on Drew Brees in the public like that, I mean, you've already put yourself out there. So I don't know what he said if behind closed doors that are done. And to me, it seems like he's brought those people back into the fold. But he has to bring the greater people back into the fold, just looking at it like how we're looking at it. Like, yeah, bro, you put your foot in your mouth, and now you're just trying to backtrack to make things good because you want to maybe run for office or be in the NBC booth after you retire, and you can't do these things if you let that statement hang in the air without any kind of retraction or any way to kind of try to backtrack it. So he's got two things that he has to work on, that locker room and then everybody else. Seems like he's getting a locker room, but I think he's still got a lot more work to do with everybody else around the country to feel like, okay, Drew Brees is trying to win us back. That's just me.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. It's going to take a lot of action. And I really think, you know, even for me, I think I'm going to need to see a lot of action. You know, he's going to have to, you know, action speaks louder than words. I always say that.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can apologize, but it takes your actions to really show that you mean what your apology said.
I it's tough, right? Because if Drew Brees sucked, this would be a whole other conversation. Drew Brees, without Drew Brees and the Saints, that's not the same team. So you're going to move hell and high water if you're Sean Payton to make sure you keep this guy. So that's another reason why, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not for the apology or anything like that. I'm just saying just, you know, again, the impact of Drew Brees saying that was huge, right? And so, yeah, I kind of agree with what JQ is saying is that, you know, yeah, you got to say this. You got to make it right. If you're Sean Payton, hell, you pull out everyone to make sure this is good because you realize without Drew Brees what the Saints are gonna, you know, Saints aren't going to be like number one, you know, supposedly for the NFC South. I mean, that's how huge that is. So I'm just saying, where's that pound of flesh if you're Drew Brees? What is he? Yes, he paid for the PR nightmare, but is he really feeling it? And now, granted, I mean, like I said again, I'm a Falcon fan, so. You know, and I've always respected Drew Brees in spite, you know, most of I hate the Saints. I've always been respected. Then looking at that, man, you're just not like anyone else. And that's the thing that's frustrating is, like, you sat up there, you're in New Orleans, you know the state, you know the makeup of the city. And for you to say something like that, it's, yeah, we know the timing's wrong. But, again, it's like, was that really how you felt? And we're tired. I mean, we're tired of, you know, the hiddenness is going on, and it's frustrating. And, again, it's like, damn, you know, you taking the picture with Donald Trump, you know. And some people would seriously would respect – they respect the flag when they respect human life. And that's the thing that's frustrating to me. That's what I hate. I mean, you know, you sat there, you piss on the flag, someone would go, they would go nuts. But somebody's life, well, no, he did this and this and that. We got to change the narrative, man. And I'm sick of it, man. So that's the thing that's frustrating for me. Yes, I agree with change and I agree with everyone, again, you know, apologizing. But I'm just – there's got to be a pound of flesh, man. That's what I really am hoping that, again – Drew Brees is going to feel for this too, because again, like I said, if he sucked, this wouldn't be, we'd be seeing right off in the sunset, but he does not suck.
Listen,
you know, that impact of, you know, what?
He felt that. He felt that, bro. You couldn't turn on the TV. Everybody from A to Z was dropping elbows on Drew Brees off the top rope. Like, he felt that. I mean, and he scrambled real quickly to get it back because he didn't think that was going to come at him like that. But I don't think you were giving enough credence to people just. He was trending number one for all the wrong reasons. Like, he most definitely felt that. He couldn't go do nothing. He couldn't be out doing a sign and saying, it was like, you know what? F you, man. Like, they was in Drew's face, bro. Like, I get what you're saying, but it's not like he just said that and it all just kind of smoothed over and then nothing happened. Like, he was getting ripped. And I mean ripped from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. across all sports, not even just sports, all you know, CNN, all anything that was center to left, he was getting murdered. So
the only ones who were supporting him was
that.
Fox News. And rightfully so.
Right.
And he deserved all of the backlash that he received. I mean, you can't make an insensitive comment like that and don't get the kind of backlash that he received. So, I mean, the way I look at it, he deserved every bit of what he received. Obviously, the apology is a start. But, you know, action speaks louder than words. I mean, you know, we all, every single one of us on this phone call have made some kind of mistake we had to apologize for, right? And
true.
But what followed that? Our apology means nothing if we don't follow it with action. And so whether that be a spouse, whether that be an apology to one of our kids or whoever it may be, but unless we follow with any kind of action, that apology means nothing.
And did you guys see the black NASCAR driver? They gave him a car with Black Lives Matter.
The wallet.
Now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, he asked NASCAR. And NASCAR said they're going to take this up. He asked NASCAR, for all you NASCAR fans in those stands, to get rid of those Confederate flags.
They did it.
They did.
Get rid of those Confederate flags that are in those stadiums that these cars drive on. Two things I want to say. There's people that say they don't know what systemic means. And systemic means if we don't get convictions and we get not guilty on police officers, that's systemic. And when we say Black Lives Matter, if you guys come up with not guilty to these police officers, that's a slap in the face of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and let's not forget, you know, but I'll let you guys go out to this, how big of a deal that is here in the Southeast, especially at those NASCAR races, to make them not be able to have any kind of Confederate memorial or gear in the stands. That is a huge win that people just don't understand. You go to those races before now and see what's happening in those stands, dude.
I don't know if they're gonna
keep enforcing it, or they're gonna really be stringent about it. But they, to put that on the books for NASCAR in the South.
Oh, that's mega, because you know, when I lived in Orlando, we would drive down to Daytona. Now, I never went into the races, but I was down there during those times of the, you know, several of those races, including the Daytona 500. And it's all on everybody's cars and four-wheel drive pickups and whatever the hoopty they're driving down to this racetrack. And so here I am. I'm trying to watch a football game, and they've got this NASCAR on down there at work. And I'm like, you know, don't these guys go in? Aren't they going in circles? You know, I mean, it's a circle, right? That's all it is. And boy, but they love it. And primarily, you know, you have a lot of the people down there that carry that Confederate flag. And I was down there in Florida one time, and I was going, Arnett and I, we were visiting some friends. All of a sudden, we were going boating with my friend of mine, and my buddy, he slams on his brakes. He backs up, and I see this Confederate flag in the window of this house, a big one, in this big picture window. He slams his brakes on, and he says a few choice words. He pulls into the driveway. He goes into the house. He grabs this guy by the nape of the neck, drags him out to the front yard, and says, "That better not ever be up there again, or I'm going to kick your ass." And the guy went inside and took that down. And when I called my buddy in Florida, I said, "Hey," I said, "you ever see that Confederate flag again?" He says, "Nope. And if I do, I'm going to kick his ass." That was fantastic. I loved it.
You know, I told you guys that story when I was in Gulfport, Mississippi. And, when Alabama, all Bear Bryant brought an undefeated Alabama team to Death Valley. And I don't know if LSU, I think they only won one game that year, but that year in Death Valley, they beat Bear Bryant and that number one ranked Alabama team, and they activated the National Guards, you know, going through Mississippi. It was a mess. But one of the things I saw, I was in the Yucatan Peninsula, And I was out for probably 45 days, 50 days. I get back to Gulfport. I get in a barracks, and there's a big Portland State. You know, I live in Portland. Portland State is playing one of those black colleges down there in Louisiana or something for that division national championship game. And, you know, I get back under and I see a team from Portland playing a black school in a national championship game for that division. But in the stands, it was full of Confederate flags flying for the black school playing Portland State in this championship game. And that was back in 83.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. Wow. And that team did just destroy Portland State down there. It was embarrassing.
Wow. Wow. Well, like you said, you know, there's what's that? What happened? Oh, I love it, JQ. Man, that's good stuff. Taking it to a whole other level too. So, you know, again, I would say I really appreciate you guys sharing your thoughts on a pretty interesting topic, on a lot of great topics today. For the sake of the East Coasters, we're probably going to wrap this thing up too. So. Because we can go to like 1 o'clock easily, but I know I want to get
some
rest.
It's
been a long
let's
day.
Do it. This time, let's
I know.
One of the things I want to one of the things I want to tell you guys are in the middle of that debate down there, where all you guys live, except Rob, you're just shortly outside of that, on these taking down these symbols. Statues and the state flag
and changing some of the names of the
street
of the
you guys more than we are here, and we are doing that stuff here too, and we're learning also with you guys. There's some name changes that happened here in Oregon. I had no idea that was associated with that negative stuff. You know,
lot of negative stuff in their history. Yeah, Portland did not want black people there for a long time. They had even passed. They made it difficult for folks to come there. So that's a whole ugly history about Portland.
I know that history, but street names and school names and park names.
Yeah,
that's the stuff I miss.
Yeah.
And then there's some smarter people than me that were able to pick up on that. And here where the state I'm living, they are doing real big things. Matter of fact, they named one of our parks after the first NAACPA couple that came in 53. They changed that park's name to these couple that came in 53 to Portland to be part of the NAACP.
Yeah, we got you. You know, and it's tough because, you know, and again, I think I can talk another 30 minutes on this, but, you know, again, like I said, we're kind of fading here, but just the impact of that, that's what I'm hoping that, like you said, we got to keep it going, Gary, because we can't just stop because we got to keep that momentum because there's a lot of hidden stuff that we know. And there's a lot of, you know, if you go up north, there's some things that, you know, everyone glosses by. In the south, it's definitely more out there, you know, but. You know, here it's like you talk about the Confederate flag. I can see that stuff, you know, but someone made a good point. You know, everyone still has where did all the KKK you know, stuff go, where all the robes go. They're still there. They're still there. Right. So, you know, and again, and that's real tough, Gary, you're American. That's real tough, man. I'm still trying to debate with a couple things too, man, because you know, they talk about making America great. They've really been great for us, man. I'm just saying. So I'm still kind of torn about that.
A cowboy.
So that's just me internally. Good job.
Another thing I hope, even if Colin Kaepernick, and I'm a little disappointed that our commissioner didn't mention Colin Kaepernick by name. I'm very disappointed with that. But what I hope he does, I hope he puts him part of the NFL, and even if he doesn't make a team, have him part of the administration that goes around different teams if he wants to. Now, with Kaepernick, I don't know if he wants to. And talk to these young people about
I would love to see him. I would love to see Colin Kaepernick, if he can't make a squad, have the opportunity to make a squad. If he can't make a squad, be part of that process where he gets to go to all these, be part of the NFL commissioner, staff, whatever. He gets to go and actually educate every single team in the league, explain what he did, why he did it, why this movement is going, you know, going on right now. I think that would be just a huge step, you know, on Roger. Now, I did hear, and I'm not even going to get into that. But let's end this show on this note and take it away, gentlemen. What do you got? Rest in peace, Harry Glickman. Do you guys know who Harry Glickman was? Rest in peace, Harry Glickman. Harry Glickman was the founder of the Portland Trail Blazers. Died today at 96.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's the one that brought, you know, professional sports to Portland. And great man. And in the Naismith Hall of Fame. And phenomenal person.
Nice.
Yeah, RP for sure.
Nice. That's nice. All right. While we enjoy, you know, and condolences to this family, thank you for sharing, Gary. You guys have always been, you know, bringing great, great content, you and Curtis, to the show. So we appreciate you guys sincerely. We've seen Rob's wall probably the last 30 minutes of the show, too. So the eggshell is really big. So, Rob, if you don't mind, maybe we can see your face for this last time. Unless you're eating great for eating asparagus and taking another piss. Love for you to, you know, do your last little point for the show. And we'll wrap up another fascinating sports with Soul Man.
I can't keep still with these Zoom things, man.
No, he took it.
Can you use your phone? Use your phone for that.
Yeah,
all right, what are we doing?
Wrapping up the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are wrapping up another great show. We're going to be back on Thursday night next week, people. Thursday night, we're going to be on live at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Thursday night. Hopefully, Major League Baseball will have a deal done by then, and hopefully we'll have more details on the NBA and the schedule and returning. So we're getting closer and closer every week, people. Major League Soccer is returning on July 8th. I think we'll take whatever little sports we can get at this point, people. So things are starting to slowly come together. But we'll be back on next Thursday night. Good night, people.
Absolutely. We appreciate all y'all. Time to turn it in. I'm old. I got to go to sleep.
Good night, folks, and a different format for Major League Soccer. Curtis will give you the update next week.
All right. Sounds good.
And next week, I'm also going to give you guys the odds on the Belmont horse race, which is going to be on the 20th. Here we go. We're going to make some money, y'all. Good night.
I like Curtis, by the way.
Wow. Wow. I got nothing for y'all. Hey, again, we appreciate you guys. Talking Sports from 12 Men. Again, another awesome edition. Gentlemen, get some rest. I'm driving to Atlanta tomorrow. Please be safe out there for the virus. Appreciate you guys. Please practice social distancing. Please be safe. All the good jazz.
Wash your hands.
Gentlemen, till next week before I officially sign off, man. We'll talk soon. Rob, you can repurpose one of those things, especially you're talking about you know, what's happening with the Packers and mishandling, you know, with Jordan Love, too. That's just me. But, you know, your call, you know, obviously. It's all good. Deuces. We're out.
Good night, people.
Bye.
Good night,
people. Good night. Good night.